So I'm glad we're all here together to fellowship together. Anyway, we're going to read Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 35, and we're going to be talking about a very special man this evening. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And what a beautiful, beautiful piece of literature from Dr. Luke, which is the actual writings of Luke have the most detail of the infancy narratives of Jesus Christ in any of the books. Question this evening is, how long have we been waiting for the promised Messiah? How long have we been watching for Him? Are we watching? Are we excited about His imminent return? Are we looking for the Messiah? This man was. There was one who eagerly awaited the coming Messiah. And this man, Simeon, makes a brief cameo appearance in the Bible. You don't read about him anywhere else. And it's a fascinating story about a man who was given a very important and a very unique prophecy. He makes his appearance in the Bible, and the magnitude of the story is incredible. What was it about this child? You ever ask that question? What was it about this child? There were millions of children that had been born up until now from creation. What was it about this child? What was it that upended the Roman Empire? What was it that infuriated the Pharisees? What was it that had Herod try to get this child and murder and kill this child and all the children around him? What was so special about this child? Simeon knew. And we're going to look tonight at what his thoughts were about it. Mary and Joseph were here to present Jesus for the dedication of the Lord's service. Christ obeyed the law. He left his prerogatives and he left his glory in heaven. And when he was down here, he submitted himself under the Jewish law, even as a little baby. Circumcised on the 8th day was as the Jewish law prescribed. Genesis chapter 17, 12 says, and he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. He left his prerogatives in heaven, and here already he's obeying the law. Remember, he could have started preaching when he was able to talk for the first time. He could have. And he waited all the way till 30 years old to be baptized in order to be able to go into the ministry. And he followed the law. He was very obedient to the law. Because of being ceremonial unclean 7 days after childbirth, the need for purification was also required by the law in Leviticus chapter 12, verses 2 through 4. Leviticus 12, 2 through 4 says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, according to the days of the separation, for her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. And we see here the part of that was going to the temple. This is where Mary and Joseph, they traveled to the temple because this need for purification by the law, I'm not going to get into all the details of this, maybe one day, but this is where she runs into this man, Simeon. And this is very important to remember, this part of Luke chapter 2, because this is what proves Mary had already said in Luke 1 that Jesus is her Savior. If she is deity, as the Roman Catholic Church says, why does she need purification? Why would she need to be purified? This is very important to remember. She was not deity. She knew that Christ is her Savior, that He is deity. Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple as required by the law. And so here we see how this is coming together. They're getting ready to head to the temple. Christ obeyed the laws of Moses in his fleshly state. He was dedicated, baptized, and he obeyed the local ordinances and the local government by even paying the tribute. He obeyed the laws. And all of a sudden, they get to the temple. We look in verse 25 to 26. We see the laws here. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. If you love Jesus, you ever recognize all the different names in Scripture about Him? There are all kinds of names that describe Jesus Christ in the Old Testament and the New Testament. If you have some of your favorite names, you can think about them right now. What about the Balm of Gilead? What about the Root of Jesse? What about, what confounded the Pharisees, how could He be David's Son and David's Lord? There's two names right there. David's Son and David's Lord. What about the Son of God? What about the Son of Man? This is the only name you will find in Scripture, and this is one of my favorite names of Christ, the Consolation of Israel. The Comfort of Israel. The Comforter. We have a Comforter. That's what we've been studying in the adult Sunday school class. We have what's called a homilete in the Hebrew, which is the one that walks beside us. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Comfort. The one that the Parakletos that works but walks beside us. And here is that name, the Consolation of Israel. Simeon here is given a prophecy and a promise like no one else. He is told that the Christ child is coming. He is told that it'll happen soon, and it'll happen sometime in his lifetime. I don't know when he was given the prophecy exactly, but I believe it was towards the end of his life. And I believe that he was an elder man when he had it, because he would have been anticipating death. And the angel would have said to him, you're getting older, perhaps. We don't know that for sure. But if you look at it and you think, you read about it, it's a good possibility. He was very old, and the angel was saying, you're not ready to die yet. He was anticipating seeing his Lord. You have a little more time left, but you will not see death until you see the Messiah. Can you imagine if this happened to you? If you were given this prophecy that you would not see death until a certain period of time, such a time, and this one is to see the Messiah? Well, we learn in Scripture that if you're a Christian, if you love the Lord, you cannot keep your mouth quiet about it. You will have opportunities in your life that present themselves that you will be required to give an answer of the hope that's within you. We don't see anything part of this prophecy where Simeon was told to keep quiet about it, that he was not supposed to say anything about it. So what torment or what ridicule may he have faced in the meantime? What would have been like for Simeon to go back and forth to the temple, to see the Pharisees standing there with the phylacteries on their garments, and they're standing there praying in the streets, and there's this old man going back and forth from the temple saying, one day a little baby, a Messiah, is going to be coming into the temple, and I've been told I'm going to see him. They probably thought he was crazy. What if it were the tourists? What if it were some of the locals? What if it would have been some who attended the sanctuary? Would they have said, there goes that foolish man in and out of the temple again, claiming that he's going to see Jesus? Perhaps many would have thought Simeon seeing Jesus would be foolish. But Israel had been waiting for a king to come. What's sad is the king did come. And a lot of people missed it, didn't they? A lot of people had absolutely no idea what was going on. They were very blinded. We see the names, some of the names of Jesus, and we see here he's referred to the consolation of Israel. This little baby is the consolation of Israel. But Simeon is ready, but he's more than most. So what does he do? He goes into the temple, finally, after all this time has gone by. We don't know how much time, but evidently there's a good period of time that went by. All of a sudden, the big day hit. He goes in, and all of a sudden, this little baby comes in. Isn't it incredible how he knew which baby it was? I mean, you know how many babies would have been coming in and out of the temple to be dedicated and to obey the Jewish law? This one comes in, and he knows immediately who it is. And Simeon sees the baby. He may have been growing old. He may have been very weak. His eyes may have been growing dim. And Mary and Joseph comes in. He takes the baby in his arms. And what does he do? What would they have been thinking? Would he question the child being the Messiah? Would he say, is this a king, this little baby? Does he say, is this the, could he say, this is the Son of God with these poor parents? Because they had, by the accounts in Scripture, they're the ones that had offered up pigeons and turtle doves. That showed basically their financial status, the very poor. Well, he clenches the child into his arms, and he breaks into song. Isn't that wonderful? Can you imagine what Mary was thinking? What would you do if you had a newborn little baby? You walked in, and you brought the little baby into church, and somebody came in and just grabbed the baby out of your arms and started walking with it. You think that Mary would have been a little upset? Oh no, they marveled. It says that Mary and Joseph marveled at what happened here. But it's very fascinating here at what happens. Simeon loves this and he breaks into song. I don't know if you've all ever heard of what the name of the song is, but the song is actually called in the Latin, the Nunc Dimittis. And it's the name of the opening of the Simeon's song here in verses 29 to 32, where he says, Lord, now let thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He calls the baby salvation. He says it's the consolation of Israel, and he breaks into song. Look at some of the songs in the Bible. Do you remember any of them? Do you remember some of the beautiful songs through Scripture? You see the song of Hannah. She finally has a child in the book of Samuel. What about Psalm 90? You see the song of Moses thanking the Lord for deliverance. What about the song, the Magnificat, from Mary herself in chapter 1, verses 46 to 55? Then there's the song, the prophecy of Zacharias in chapter 1 in Luke, verses 68 to 79. Chapter 2, verse 14, you see the song of the angels. Beautiful songs all about Jesus. And here this is a song that Simeon breaks out into. Lord, let us now thy servant depart in peace. He says, I've seen salvation. I'm ready to go home. He wasn't afraid to die. He wasn't holding on tenaciously to every little breath like we do. He was ready. He saw the baby and he wanted to go home. Much like Paul the Apostle, how many times he talked and said, it was needful for me to be here in the flesh, but far better to go see Christ. Far better. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain, is what Paul said. So here we see the consolation of Israel, and Simeon has the baby. He didn't have to wait around. He didn't have to see miracles. He didn't have to see extra signs. He didn't have to see anything else. He had waited long enough, and he saw the Messiah. What must he have been thinking? Well, we see here that this is part of the song, and then he goes a little bit further. You see that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they all would desire a sign. Now, Simeon had been given one. He had been given a prophecy. And he accepted that sign, which is when he saw the baby. But when they went after, the Sadducees and the Pharisees went after Christ later on, and they wanted to see a sign, and they didn't believe in, when the consolation of Israel was right there before them, and they required more signs, Matthew 16:4, we read, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Their hearts weren't fixed on Christ. This man Simeon's heart was. He loved the Lord. Well, we see this application is that Simeon was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost. We read in verse 25, he loved the Lord and did not need to see anything else. Do we have to be reminded by some miracle today to know that Christ is there? Look at Hebrews 11, verse 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Do we have to have physical signs to remind us every day that Jesus Christ is real? Do we have to have some kind of entertainment or some kind of physical statue that we have to put our hands on? Can't we just be like Simeon and believe in Christ? He believed when he wasn't even there. And then when he saw him, he knew who he was. And Simeon is now ready for the Lord to take him. We read further here as we get ready to close here shortly. But he goes and he starts speaking to Mary also. He breaks out into song and he says, I'm ready to go. Let thou thy servant depart in peace. And then what else does he say? This child, this consolation of Israel, this Son of God is a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken. He's the light of men. You read in John 1, and we read about he's the light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world. And he comes in and he says, it's incredible how part of the prophecy is how Simeon says he's a light to lighten the Gentiles. That was massive. You need to be very thankful for that verse. Because if he was just to be a light to the Jews, most of us here would be in big trouble. See, the Gentiles were hated by the Jews, and the Pharisees wanted nothing to do with the Gentiles. They would just assume the Gentiles be destroyed, be put into hell, and never thought of again. What we've been studying in the adult Sunday school class, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord has been teaching us something massive about the different languages. That those languages in Acts chapter 2 were meant to reach out to beyond the Israelites, beyond the Jews and the wicked Jews in Judea that were questioning Peter, for the Gentiles, who was what we are, the Gentiles and the Greeks, that the gospel of Jesus Christ here is open to all. It's not a segregated religion. It's not confined to one little cult of people. It's for all to see. Why don't we love it? We need to love it. We need to thank the Lord that He was open and He revealed it to us. But what would happen to Mary? What would happen here? This is a very serious part of the conversation that Simeon goes into. He says that Christ will be a light to the Gentiles, that the gospel is going to go out into all the world. And Joseph and his mother, they marveled. But then something happens. Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. This has a lot of important meaning in these verses. Because what did everyone expect when Jesus came to the world? They wanted a king, an earthly king. They wanted the kingdom set up now. They wanted Jesus to turn David's booth, his throne, right side up now. Simeon says that's not what's going to happen. That's not what the Old Testament says. He's saying that Jesus Christ, this little baby, has come. He's born to die. He's going to be dying. He's not taking up an earthly kingdom now. And what he says here, this child is set for the fall and the rising of many in Israel. Many, there will be those that believe. There will be many that will hate him. And yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. You know, we can expand on that a lot. All you moms here, how do you feel when your little baby is hurt? How do you feel when your child is sick? Or your little child grows up, gets a little bit older, and maybe gets hurt by someone else, or maybe gets a cut, falls off their bike, or does something. Doesn't it just, as a parent, does it just rip your heart to shreds? How do you think Mary felt when her son got spit on? How do you think Mary felt when her son got mocked? Every single time she was there and saw her son being ridiculed and mocked and beaten and scourged, blasphemed, and then she's standing at the foot of the cross seeing her son, a sword was going through her heart. She could feel the cuts every single time Jesus was being hurt, knowing that her son is the Son of God, and not only her son, but her Savior. And Simeon told her here, this is necessary. You're going to feel the pains. You have been given a great blessing. But along with that great blessing comes great responsibility. You're going to see your son bleeding on the cross. You're going to see them take his body down and mangled with hardly anything left. But then you're going to see him resurrect. That is where your salvation comes from. Did you know that? Did you know that his blood washes away all of your sins, and that's where you go with your guilt? That is where your sins are cleansed. You cannot out-sin God's grace. You can't. He says, believe on me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The rising, those who received him are raised up. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Peter knew. Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In John 19:25, we read, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. There's where the sword pierced her side and her soul. Can you imagine what she went through? But she knew that it needed to be. Are you watching for the Messiah? All our activities, passions, and desires predicated on the coming Messiah, do we long for his return? Or are we afraid of it? Are you afraid to see Jesus? If you are, why? Why are you afraid? Except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall now enter into the kingdom of heaven? Well, let me tell you something. Your righteousness can never exceed anything without the blood of Christ. You have no righteousness. We were born in sin, and in sin did our mother conceive us. Psalm 51:5. But with Christ, that all goes away. You go to heaven. You're standing there at the judgment. Christ comes in and says, this one is mine. I've bought them with a price. You're bought with a price. Isn't that wonderful? Well, as we finish up, there were so few that knew. There were so few that understood what was going on here. We live in a world today that seeks science, medicine, technological advances, and every spiritual healing. All these gimmicks to push away Christ, and all these gimmicks. But Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Who knew? There's a beautiful song out there we hear quite a lot around Christmas. Mary, did you know? There's a lot of theology, actually, and if you listen to the words, the only problem is the question. Elizabeth knew. Zechariah knew. Simeon knew. Mary knew. I think that it would be very fascinating if there was a song saying, Herod, did you know? What if Herod? Herod didn't know. He wanted to destroy Christ. Mary did know, and so did these other precious people that loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Herod wanted to destroy Christ. Caesar wanted to destroy Christ, and so did Caiaphas, so did Annas, Pilate, and the Pharisees. None of them knew. My question is tonight, do you know? I pray you do, because that's the greatest question you will ever ask in your life, is what think ye of Christ? Always remember the question that the disciples asked on the Sea of Galilee when Christ calmed the waters. You go into the Synoptic Gospels and you read that wonderful story. What manner of man is this that the winds and the sea should obey him? The question that you ask, what manner of man was it? Who was this Christ? Well, we're told right here who he was. And so I hope you know him and I hope you love him, because I know Simeon did. And if we have a heart like Simeon, I think we have a lot of joy in our hearts. I'm very confident. Christ is coming, and even those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he is coming back, and it's true. And this is not a myth. What we read tonight is not a legend. It's not some fairy tale. This is absolute perfect truth. It's truth, and there's no doubt about it. Well, let's finish tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of our Lord and Savior, who Thou were born to die. Thou came into this world of a virgin, Mary, who bore Thee and as a very young little handmaid, and she was so faithful and she was so precious, but she was not deity, Lord. Thou art our deity. Thou art our God and our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we worship Thee here this evening. Not just tonight, because this is a time of year called Christmas, but year-round in this church, Thy word is lifted up to magnify Thy name. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art our Savior, that thou died and rose again to give us eternal life, that thou ascended into heaven, and then we know that thou came to this earth one time, and we know that, Lord, thou said thou art going to return, and Lord, we can be counting on that day that thou art going to return again, and we look forward to that day. And we thank thee and we praise thee for all that thou hast given us. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ we pray in thy name always. Amen.